Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 177. I'm the host, Will Wilson, and with me tonight is Peter Willington,
Hello.
James Gilmore,
Good evening.
and Keith Andrew.
Hello.
See, I wasn't negative that time. See, all guys
No, I'm just
happy.
saying my name is negative enough, so. Oh.
So, how's everyone been this week?
I've got a hay fever.
You got hay fever? Why?
Because.
Why?
Shall I explain the process? Or?
Please do.
I don't actually know, but there are lots of little things in the air.
Love.
But no, that love doesn't float as well. It usually kind of. No, I'm not going to go there. Yes. Yeah, pollen.
It's quite ticklish if you get it up your nose, though.
What are you talking about now?
What are we?
I think we're on love still, aren't we?
That's what I'm talking about.
I was, yeah.
Well, thanks everyone for joining today. We're running a bit late, so let's cut
Thought you were
straight.
bringing it to a close there. I thought it was
No, that's
over.
it. Thank you very much. We'll
This week's pollen update.
pollen cast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so we'll move straight into the newsroom.
Okay, are we still doing this?
What do you mean, are we still doing this? This is a physical structure that we are now standing in.
Sorry, yeah, I forgot
newsroom
my...
sounds
Yeah.
that you can hear right now.
Oh, it's incredible. It sounds so high quality.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've just been passed to the new seat from our new employee, Debbie. And, yeah, a new name.
Oh, what happened to Bill and the other one? I can't remember.
Janet.
Janet, there you go.
Well, your names are like from the 80s.
Yes, and I just like 80s names. Yeah, well, I don't really want to talk about what happened to those two, if that's all
Oh.
right.
Sounds dark.
That sounds like that's the real news this week.
Talking of minds. Talking of mines, Minecraft is doing pretty well, according to recent numbers that Mojang gave us. Yeah, because recently they released numbers for all formats, and they have revealed to us that mobile, that's both Android and, of course, iOS, have been downloaded 1.8 million times.
Wowzers.
Mikey.
Which is quite a lot. Especially considering it's not a 69p game.
Is that a lot? I don't
Oh,
know.
yeah, it is for a premium game, yeah.
How much is it?
Yeah, $4.99, I
It's
think.
around a fiver, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. I don't know. I would have thought they'd be higher than that, considering all the fuss about it.
Well, it's already, I mean, it's been out on PC for ages, hasn't it? And that's reached 6 million. And so 1.7 in how long is it, when was it released?
Two, 3 months.
Late last year, wasn't it?
See, I thought it
Yeah.
was higher than that on PC. I thought it was. Thought all you kids were more into it than you obviously are.
October, it was the first one that was Android, and then about a
Yeah.
month later. Yeah.
You know, this story makes me wonder, how long will it be before we stop having to put in brackets after Google Play that it used to be called Android Market? When do we reach that point?
We've already stopped doing that.
Well, it's in this story.
Is it? Oh.
That's why I'm thinking of it. I've not just lost my marbles.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, we have it as a rule.
Like that point where you can make a joke about someone who's died recently, but there's like, you can't do it until it's like 6 months afterwards or something.
Yeah, it's essentially the same rule.
Rule. Yeah.
But yes, no, I've seen people put Google Play Store,
Yeah, it sounds wrong, that.
which is even worse. That's like, come to the Google Play Store, leave your children.
I thought that's what they called it. They
Keep
called it the
people home.
Google Play Store, and it's shortened to Google Play.
I think it's just, yeah, I think you just say, like, Google Play, and we'll all just start saying play soon.
Yeah.
And
Hey,
then
man, you've been on play. Yeah, man. No, I don't go on play. I just legally download everything. I got an Android, didn't I?
APK in it.
ABK, that's what we. Google it, man. Google. The same company. It doesn't matter. Yeah, so that's good. So it's been in total, it's been downloaded 9.5 million times. It doesn't look like any sign of stopping soon. I bought the Xbox version the other day. It seems okay. Not as good as the PC one, but
I haven't played it like hardly at all. It's one of those things I feel slightly bad. I should have probably got in and had a proper go, but I had a little go and wander about.
Don't feel bad. Like it's Lego, but for grown-ups, and not really for grown-ups. Like
I thought Lego was Lego for grown-ups.
Yeah, I like Lego.
I love Lego. Walking around the Lego
show. What?
You just swore as well. I'm having to edit that bit out.
What?
Who swore?
Who swore?
I didn't. I said I love Lego.
And you said I love
walking around the shop.
Oh, it sounded like the F word there. I was. I'm on hyper alert at the moment.
He really did leap on that. I'm going to have to edit that out.
I'm sorry. This podcast is over. Close.
And Minecraft really brings out your dark side.
That was a yellow card I just got there.
It was. Yeah. I mean, television replays would probably show that you're right, but
television.
We don't have that system. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we don't have that system.
Yellow card.
Hey, Andrew, one more and you're out. I can hang you up.
Anything I say that sounds like a swear word, I'm gone.
Did you just say the S word? let's move on. Let's go to another popular franchise. Angry Birds, it's still branching out to new nests.
Oh, really?
Almost. So first one, we got two Angry Birds story for you this week. Moscow based.
Say it.
Prom. Oh, I don't know how to say it in the English. It's not. It doesn't look right when it's written in Latin.
Well, you can say it in the Russian.
Promsvyaz Bank. Well, yeah, I'll be better at it because you learn the pronunciation that way. But anyway, yeah. So this bank in Moscow has unveiled a line of Angry Birds branded bank cards.
That card looks really nice.
Yep.
Really?
It does. I really like the design of it.
The big bird's really scary though.
Well, yeah, they all look a bit, apart from the blue one who seems to be laughing about something. They all a bit peach.
That's what he's doing at that point.
Yeah, everyone else is looking in one direction. The massive one just going sort of to one side.
Why am I still with these guys?
The massive one's like, okay, well, you've got a credit card, but don't spend too much money, or I'll break your legs.
I'll come into your house and knock off your foundations.
Only with a Russian accent.
Yeah, I'll come into your house and... No, that was rubbish. So this follows on from stories, of course, that we had the Angry Birds jewellery last month. That's Finnish silversmith. But yes, it's the first... Moscow Times is saying it's the first official Angry Birds product licensed by Rovio in Russia.
Do you think you could get through, like, a full working month, right, using all Angry Birds products?
But, like, eating as well?
Yeah. Like,
they don't have any
food. Any food?
There must be
a fatal flaw.
I don't think there is.
There's clothing, okay.
Baby clothes.
Yeah.
T-shirts.
You can get a card to buy stuff.
Yeah, but do you have to buy Angry Birds food, or can you get away with it just by using this credit card?
I think you could use it to buy seeds, and that would be allowed.
What about eggs? Wouldn't that be a nice ironic twist?
You'd have
duck and stuff.
You'd have to make them. I've seen people, they've got like Angry Birds cakes. If you'd have to make Angry Birds cakes, bake your own in order to do it.
Yeah,
or like pizzas and stuff with eyes, Angry Birds eyes with pepperoni and stuff.
Or toast bread so that it pops up with Angry Birds shaped.
Can I ask something important here? Why would we do this?
Well, why wouldn't you? Why would you want to do this?
What are you?
I don't get paid enough to do this.
You're gonna make a documentary about it. We're all dead by the end.
Well, that would be a hit. That
Angry Birds me.
Yes.
So if you're in Russia, you can get it. There's 100,000 unit run. It costs about $15 or 499 rubles. And that's the annual service fee. We hope that customers will actively use this plastic to pay for goods and services.
That would be the idea. Rather than picking things out of their teeth or something. Yeah. That would...
I hope they don't just get it and then not use it. That'd be rubbish.
That's good. A great statement. Do people do that all the time with shoe shops going, we hope that people use these shoes to walk in.
Yeah. And possibly run. Yeah.
Keeping on the Angry Birds theme, this last one for this week, though. You know how we've all been having a little laugh at the Angry Birds themed parks that have been appearing in Finland and an illegal one or an unofficial one in China. Now, the Angry Birds Park is coming to the UK.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
It's coming to that world-famous...
Sundown Adventureland. Hey-haw, come and visit Sundown Adventureland in Nottinghamshire.
Oh, and for under 10s only. Where do all the parents go?
Oh, it's for under 10s.
should under 10s really... Do under 10s... I suppose they all have iPhones now, the under 10s, do they? I guess.
I mean, they don't seem to have any parents in this park, so...
They've got an iPod Touch.
I guess.
You must be this short to enter the park.
It's pretty cheap. 250 grand they're spending on it. That's not that much, really.
Have you seen what it is?
It's just a couple of...
Is that an actual what it's going to look like?
Yeah, it's an artist's mock-up.
It's not very good.
It's just a climbing frame, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
a green
play
pigs.
Park, isn't it? It's not like a theme park. It's a...
What you can't see is that... what the hell? There's CGI children, like, quite badly done as well. It's sort of one in a wheelchair, just sort of mournfully looking at the...
the fun that he could be having if only he could ambulate.
Oh, that's so cruel, but so funny.
Well, you know they're box ticking, aren't they? They've got to make sure that everyone's accounted for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's one in the background that looks like he's sort of...
Flying or something?
Flying, yeah.
I like... On their website, they're like, and once you're done with that, don't forget to explore Shotgun City.
Whoa,
that's another part. Yeah, apparently. This is a day trip.
We can't go on the park though; it's for under 10s.
We can sneak in at night.
No, but obviously, what we have to do is we have to set up just to the left of the park. We set up a massive catapult. Yeah. Or what's the point of this park if we're not lobbing ourselves into it and trying to smash small children into the ground beneath wooden, climbing frames? What the hell is the point of this thing?
I think you've missed the point of what Angry Birds as a game is. I don't think it's about smashing children.
That we can get the pigs as well, but the children are collateral damage.
Collateral damage, yeah.
You know, it's war times, my friend.
So yes, that's you can have a look at that rather interesting mock-up with the floating child.
It's a bit weird.
And there's one waving.
Yeah. I'm getting him first.
Oh, goodness me. So yes, you can see that on the website. What else have we got? Let's go away from Angry Birds now, and let's go to jailbreaking, because last weekend, just before last weekend, Absinthe 2.0 was released, which is a jailbreak for the latest. I think it's the latest version of OS, iOS. Yeah, it is 5.1.1. Yes, and it was downloaded over 1 million times in under 2 days, which is that's quite a big demand for people who jailbreak iPhones, isn't it?
How many iPhones are there?
6,500 million.
I believe you.
Yeah. I'm a little bit confused on this, on the whole jailbreaking phenomenon. Apart from the obvious of, you know, like, getting 69 pence games for free. Are there any other uses that people kind of...
Yeah, well, you can install apps which Apple wouldn't allow, because they don't like people digging in the dirt to find the places I got hurt.
Whoa! Peter Gabriel reference. Whoa!
But how did I know James would know that? So, yeah. They don't like people doing that, so you get apps which can dig deep and do helpful stuff that you wouldn't be able to download from the official store.
Well, sneaky side loading and whatnot.
Yeah, side loading. Yes. And...
So do you think that this, because it's a big number, do you think that like most of this number is people who, you know, want to sort of play around with it and do bits and pieces and sort of, you know, dig deeper, as you say? Or is this like, I want to get Angry Birds for free?
Like... I think some people do it in a kind of almost, oh my God, look, I've jailbroken my phone kind of way.
Sort of a philosophical...
Sticking it to the man in some way.
Yeah. I've just bought one of your phones, but I'm not a slave.
I'm going to take those free updates from you.
Yeah.
Because you don't really, well, just people who really want to circumnavigate kind of the shackles of you know, the Android OS and sorry, the Android, the iOS OS, it's just to go Android, isn't it? Because that's they allow. I mean, they're just side loading. You just flick a switch and it turns side loading on and off, and you can just put on there what you like.
Yeah, but
then they'd have to buy an Android.
Yeah, they'd have to buy an Android.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that on my worst enemy.
It was interesting, all of this before the App Store launched, and I knew a lot of people who did do it, especially those who'd ordered them for America before they'd even come out here. And there were all kinds of, well, I suppose it'd be quite boring apps now, but at the time, the whole thing was really revolutionary because what the hell are these things that
you
can
do? You could do multitasking well before iOS could.
Yeah, but now I think it's a lot of people, I think a lot of developers sometimes use it as a test bed, or at least they used to a couple of years ago, to see whether things worked. And then if they did, they would take them to the App Store. But I'm not sure, what people do now. There's still a couple of app stores, isn't it? There's still plenty of stuff out there. People have, I forget what they're called. There's two main ones, I think, they're the app stores for jailbreaking.
Cydia.
Yeah, and something else.
Has anyone managed to dual boot yet? Has anyone been able to do it so you've got, it's running, iOS and, I don't know, Linux or something? Has anyone dual booted this?
I haven't heard any stories of that.
Because that would be useful. I could see that being a thing that people would want to do. If you flip between Android and iOS and best of both worlds, like, surely someone's got to do that at some point.
Problem is, if you installed Android on it, it'll probably get all unstable.
Claws are out. Claws are out on this podcast.
Yes, this is the wrong podcast to be like saying anything nice about Android, really.
Let's move on, though, to something nice, which is...
Wasn't nice?
Yeah. Square Enix has announced it's announced its E3 lineup that it'll be showing, as has quite a few companies, actually. But this one's interesting, because they've mentioned a new Final Fantasy game called Final Fantasy Dimensions, and it is for iOS and Android, not for consoles, DS, Vita, or anything like that.
It's a classic story of light, darkness, and crystals.
It is.
One of those classic stories.
Dark crystal.
That's true.
These are all my favourite kind of games. I'll be all over these.
I know, you can't resist it. It's the numbers.
They're what I'm about, all of this.
The fantasy, the finality, it's all there.
Yeah, for a series called that, it doesn't really end, does it? It just, you know.
Oh, that is so cliched, Keith. Come on, I expected better of you than that.
Never ending. I can't think of another word that's better than final. But
finito.
Isn't
finito
this
fantasy?
that's the ripped off version.
Yeah.
And that you get down the market.
Finito, fantastic. Isn't this, from what I read, this Final Fantasy Dimension, they're all like, oh, it's an all-new Final Fantasy. I don't think it is. I think it's a port of a Java version. Like, it's got the same logo as this Java one that they released, like, last year or something.
But isn't the Java one an original Final Fantasy?
In the same way that they all are.
Yeah. No, because on iOS previously, the other Final Fantasy games, except for, well, Crystal Defenders doesn't really count, but all the others have been remakes or reissues, so Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. But a port of a Java game.
This is a port of an existing... I thought original as an exclusive or brand new, whereas this, it's not brand new, is it? It's a port of another game they've already made, so it's not original, is it?
Yeah.
It's original at the time.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah.
Time. So okay, fine. Spoil it. Go ahead. I don't care.
I'm sure it'll be lovely, and Keith will really enjoy it.
I'm going to talk about Demon's Score. Because that's the other game which caught my eye on their release schedule, which is a it's a rhythm action game essentially, featuring breakbeat action, where you blend fighting with music.
Ooh.
Sounds a bit like a theatre rhythm to me.
Sounds a lot like Draglard, which was on DS and was not very good, unfortunately. But it was an interesting idea.
And Kickbeat, which is coming out on Vita.
Yep. And I'm going to try it out, do you?
Oh, no. What have I started?
Oh, no. I don't know anymore.
No, I've completely lost. Algorithm. Yep, there you go. Sort of.
No.
No, I'm not really. Algorithm.
Not really.
I was just
God, you guys play so many games, don't you? I think I'm going to have a word with your parents. This is getting out of hand.
Get square eyes.
If get any work done.
Yeah, I really should do my homework at some point. But so yes, well that was it from the news. You couldn't. I think I got away with finding news stories in about 5 minutes.
You're such a professional. That's why. Yeah.
Curtain's been lifted.
I only used that as a ruse because I wasn't ready and I wanted to delay you in some way. So I wasn't actually interested in whether there was any news or not.
I'm marking the time of recording. This is how I am. I'm going to cut down my edit time tonight. I've written down 26 minutes. That's when I need to edit out for new releases.
I mean, I can swear now.
Oh. Don't you dare!
Oh, that slipped through.
Yellow card, Will. Yellow card.
No, because it's half time, and we're currently in the.
You can still get booked half time.
Anything goes.
We're currently in the locker room.
You can still get a card. You can get a card at full time.
I'm out of the pit. The referee's in his office.
Just filing paperwork. Just like, yeah. Oh, and like he's putting his yellow card into a file and his red card into a file. Like, nope, there we are.
He has an office at every football ground.
Do my paperwork.
Right, let's go to the new releases.
Where's my office?
This week on the new releases, we're in Fortune Street meeting Max Power, who's talking to us about a fruit brush that he had.
Sorry.
That one was particularly good.
So yes, welcome to the new releases roundabout. Traffic is being diverted now because the Olympics is going to start soon and the government are testing out fictional road haulage limits.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah.
You could have said they were bringing the torch down, couldn't you? They closed the roads to...
It's a fictional road. The Olympic torch is real. Hello.
The Olympic torch is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a literal expression of hope and joy and passion.
And sport. Gas.
It's been beautifully sunny while that torch has been going around until today it came to the north when it was raining.
What a surprise!
Just giving it the traditional northern welcome with the.
Trying to blow it out, essentially. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm surprised it wasn't nicked.
Keith is now just... Do you see his profile picture? That's
I'm
his
marking Peter down on the card now. Yeah.
He's on the list.
So, yes, Fortune Street Smart is our first game this week from Square Enix again.
Squeenix.
It's a board game. Yes, rolling dice, moving around the board. I've never heard of this before, so I'm guessing it's original.
Have you not?
No.
This is, it's Fortune Street Smart. That's really, yeah.
Fortune Street Smart.
Yeah, basically like Fortune Street is a it's also called, in Japan it's called Itadaki Street, and it's basically like a board game series. But what they usually do is have lots and lots of different crossovers in Japan, and we don't really get them over here because, you know, licensing and that sort of stuff. There was one recently that did come out, I think, which featured the some Nintendo characters, but usually they like to cross over with they've had like Final Fantasy versus Dragon Quest and a bunch of other like Squeenix properties like coming together and in a sort of board game style. Like this is like really exciting for me because getting to play it will be really, really fascinating. I'm really interested to see what they do with it.
Well, that was more of an enthusiastic reaction than I was expecting.
Well, there we are.
So yes, Fortune Street Smart is out now. Well, it's out. Yeah, out now from when you're listening to this. I didn't delay myself long enough. I was typing in the. I moved away from New Zealand as well, so now I'm not going to get the prices. What an idiot!
Move from New Zealand? Why don't you tell me?
Well,
it's available for some dollars.
Some dollars, yes. Next one up this week is Max Power Adventures by Max Power Studios. Yes, so this video is private. I can't even watch it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Weak. Let's find it somewhere else.
Weak.
Is it based on the Lads Mag? That's what I want to know.
Is it based on The Simpsons reference?
Ooh, I hope it
that
is that
be much
one.
Better. Yeah,
yeah, it would be. Yeah,
I doubt it somehow.
I hope that this is a driving game because the last Max Power driving game was excellent, but it's probably not. That's a shame because it's got princesses.
Hang on, their
it?
Website is an FTP site. Oh, this is the most annoying thing. Let's skip
is this,
it.
Is this a real thing?
Let's skip it. Move past. Fruit Rush is up this week as well. You race against the clock, squish fruit, and match fruit. Oh, it's going to be a match three, isn't it?
It certainly is. But it's going to go from left to right. Fruit's going to move from left to right. Lightning's going to happen. Things are going to explode. And a weird cosmic disco will erupt in your face. If the trailer's anything to go by.
Looks quite fast.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You want match threes to be fast. Yeah. I quite like match threes.
I don't know. I find them. Once I start playing them, I kind of enjoy them. It's like the prospect of one. I find it less inviting somehow. I'm like, oh, another one, and then you play it, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of hooked again. Damn it.
They're good toilet games. Then, if you need something to do for 5 minutes.
Thanks for that, Keith.
How long I take?
Let's quickly move on. Expand It by FTG is out this week as well.
No. Speaking of going to the toilet.
No. Some links are wildly inappropriate.
Yeah, so Expand It is out. It is based on the Flash game, which had over 15 million players. It's essentially a physics puzzler where little cute shapes need to go up to a point in the screen where there's a rainbow as a line, and you do this by tapping them and making them expand. Obviously, expanding them raises up other things above them and activates. What are you laughing about? It's quite...
description. It's brilliant. You should do their PR.
It's just raising up stuff.
It doesn't look very nice.
Well, it doesn't look bad.
A bit tatty to me. Why? I don't understand what the point is.
It looks a little bit trippy. When they hit the... Because the synopsis itself sounds like a stoner's kind of dream when it says you have to tap dinosaurs to inflate them on their way towards a giant rainbow.
Do you have a limited number of taps or something? I mean...
No, I think it's just that when they get too big, then you won't be able to pass the level, will you? Because they'll get stuck and, have a temper. So yeah, well there we go. That's out this week.
What's that?
Inferno Plus is out this week. It's a universal app from Radiant Games or Radiant Games. Radiant Games. It's basically a new and improved version of the Xbox Live game Inferno. Well, Ants described it as a twin stick action RPG. It looks like a twin stick shooter.
I think Mark reviewed this, didn't he?
And yeah,
I think
he did. Yeah,
it was described. Yeah, it was described to me as being Gauntlet plus plus. But I don't know. I haven't played it yet. But that's cool. Looks very neon.
Neon is the word.
Yeah,
I'm still a sucker for that. All that Geo Wars and Osmos as well, which I've taken to recently and think is brilliant. Yeah, I'm a sucker for all that circular glowy nonsense.
Well, if you like circular glowy nonsense, then Ring Fling is also out this week, which sees you flinging circular neon things at each other in a multiplayer battle on an iPad. Or against the AI.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a very simple game.
Looks nice, though. I like it.
I like the design. Like, very simple, very sleek. Yeah. Very sort of back to basics.
Yeah.
It's like Hungry Hungry Hippos without the hippos.
And without the hunger. The hunger that gnawed at their souls so much.
I suppose they're spitting it out rather than absorbing, so it's like massively bulimic hippos.
Oh dear. Up next is Axon Runners, where it's you glide on rails through a cel-shaded city, collecting orbs, pulling off jumps, 15 levels. Looks nice from the still screenshot.
Oh, is that a still screenshot? I wonder why it wasn't moving.
It's close to be the second yellow card.
I don't know why I even said that.
That's talking back to the referee. Anyway, Axon Runners is also out this week, and it looks nice. I'm looking forward to seeing what the review
is. It's a bit cel-shady.
Cel-shady. I like cel-shady.
Jet Set Radio meets Airblade or something.
Heroes Call is also out this week. Heroes Call what? No, it's just Heroes Call. It's a isometric dungeon crawler from Defiant Developments. It has 40 levels, 100 different types of enemies. It looks a bit like Diablo, really. Bit of a hack and slasher. You get two classes, Mage or Magi, and a Knight. Who seems to swing his sword in a really sort of lackadaisical way.
It's like, yeah, it's very slow, isn't it? He's got a very slow little animation there. Cycle. It does look quite pretty, but everyone's running through treacle. Oh, there's a giant spider. Imagine that. It's a fantasy RPG thingy, and it's got a giant spider.
I hope there's skeletons.
You know what I can't imagine?
What's
I can't imagine a green-skinned humanoid creature with big teeth.
Nah.
I think you're living a pipe dream there.
Exactly. Madness.
This is why I like fantasy games, because it allows me to get away from things of the normal, you know?
But the problem is they've become normal now, haven't they? I half expect to see a green, pointy-eared, pointy-tooth thing when I leave the house every morning, because, you know, they're all fat. Yeah, I probably do. But it's pretty par for the course now, isn't it? And that's what I think with some of the console ones. They have to resort to dragon-faced people. They have to resort to lions in Skyrim and all that. They just have like, oh, we've run out of scaly things. We've done wizards and we've done elves and we've done orcs. And it's like, tigers. We'll do tigers.
He's gone.
Yes, he got so excited.
That'll do. And then pandas. Pandas for well. did you lose my rant?
Yeah, you just cut out and then came back in with pandas.
Self-censoring iPad just went, no, shut up.
Yeah, so yes, that's it. That's your fantasy. Your greatest fantasy, if your greatest fantasy just so happens to be in line with every single fantasy that's been made since Tolkien, is Heroes Call, and it's out this week. Petson's inventions. I was about to say inventories. Inventories. Petson must take stock in his cupboard. Yeah, so Petson's inventions is also out this week. And it sounds like an incredible machine type game.
The logo is very nice of the developer.
It is an incredible machine type game.
It is.
Okay.
I find these a bit boring.
I do as well. Let's move on.
Vetoed.
Finally this week, it's although we did have, there was a game also out this week, Crescent Moon's Razor. That was it. Which was the stationary first-person shooter. It got a review. I think it's been published, although I'm not sure, so I'm not going to say anything. But it was middling, so I gave it away. If it's not been published yet, there we go. But yes, also out this week is Tiny Legends. Tiny Legends Crazy Night. It's another sort of hack and slashy, but it's more cartoony. With square heads, which look like they're from Minigore. Up to 40 enemies on screen.
I like the design, though. I like how it's all very blocky. I think that's quite sweet. But...
Yeah.
I'm not...
So there we go. That's the new releases this week. Hey!
Hey!
Woo!
So... Let's go on to the one we've been playing, Fields.
What we've been playing!
Welcome to what we've been playing, Fields. It is hot, it is humid, and it is on a hill. Who's going to go first this week? Do you want me to go first? Get out of the way, and then I can walk outside, have a cigarette while you guys talk.
Prattle on about games.
I have been playing O-Cube.
that is how you should pronounce it. O-Cube.
O-Cube. With all your numbers and you're hiding an object from me.
Yeah,
so I've been playing O-Cube this week. That's an exclamation mark after the O-H. It's Picross 3D, but on iOS.
Yeah.
Oh, which is good. I don't think many people play Picross 3D on DS, so. But to explain what that is, it's sort of not. It's not actually really Picross because it's kind of reverse. But anyway, you get a block. It has certain numbers on the sides, certain sides, and that tells you how many blocks in a row exist on that row or column. And then you've got to chisel away at the ones that don't exist by using deduction, logic, and reason. It's puzzle.
Oh, those things.
Yeah, I hate those three.
Yeah, I hate those things.
Why don't you just leave me alone? It's good. It's presented in a DS-style, cheeky, chirpy fashion with incredibly repetitive music that you'll turn off. The puzzles are good. There's lots of them. It was free when I downloaded it. I think it's 69p now. And it's good fun. It's a good fun puzzle game. I always like Picross anyway, the games. It's really good. I'd advise picking it up. I think it got a silver from us a few weeks back.
Is it the one where you're chipping away at the blocks and inside there's a little shape that's like an animal and then it animates at the end? And it's always a really weird thing. It's not like it's some random collection of blocks and then it animates.
Yeah.
And it goes, this is a Philips head screwdriver. And you're like, what?
Yes, this is a sword. What? It's just a triangle. It is. Yeah. It's okay. Good fun, though. Who else wants to go on the what we play field ride?
Who else wants to go on it?
I would like to go on it.
Get on it, son.
Come on, then.
I've been playing The Sandbox by Pixowl and BulkyPix, and it is a sort of world creation and experimentation game in which you put pixels onto a screen, but those pixels have lots of different attributes. So you get like earth pixels and then water pixels, and then if you mix them together you get mud pixels, and then obviously there's loads more elements like heat and cold, and then there's an atmosphere that you can take into account, so you can turn, you know, weather effects on, and whether it's hot or it's cold, or and then it starts to play up and bring in new game ideas. It introduces metal and then electricity, and you're making you can make, you know, fairly complex machines that work and move and do all these interesting cool things. It's got an absolutely gorgeous art style that kind of feels a lot like what we thought games would become, you know, when we were playing on Game Boys and so on. You know, just like very detailed pixel art. It's also very cheery. Music's quite nice, quite upbeat and quite uplifting. I got it free. I think it's a freemium game. And you sort of earn mana during challenges. You complete a challenge and you get this like mana, and then you can buy more types of pixel, basically. And you keep unlocking them and keep unlocking mana, and then eventually you just kind of run out of mana and there's no real way of getting more, and it's a little bit sort of, then it becomes quite frustrating because you're kind of left in this, you know, you're left with this freemium mechanic of,
you're left in the world that you created. Yeah. Trapped forever without any way of getting out, because you can't.
There was time to create. Pixel. There was time to create now, but now I've got no mana and I have to pay 69p. And yeah, so it's a delight, I would say. And the puzzles are very interesting, very. They vary up quite a lot. Like there's some things that are just like make clouds and now make it snow, and then there's some that are make gas and then make that explode. And how are you going to make gas? Well, you need to combine all these different elements and make magma. And it's and I've learned a lot about how you know, different, not, well, I've not really learned a lot, but like I've kind of really enjoyed the learning aspect of how the world works, because it's not super realistic, but I love the way that all of the pixels kind of interact with one another. It's a very dynamic game to play, so yes, I've thoroughly enjoyed myself with that. No comments, no, just like,
no, it's very positive so far. I'm slightly alarmed more than I think. at least we can rely on Keith maybe to give us a negative review. Oh, sorry. Keith, can you entertain us?
Maybe.
Are you going to say something very controversial?
Like what?
Like, new Star Soccer's rubbish?
No, it's not rubbish. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've been playing it, so it's very different to all other soccer games in soccer, football games, in that it's kind of part management, part play. Albeit you're only controlling one person,
like a player manager, then.
Well, you're not manager, but you kind of. When I say management, you kind of manage yourself. So you have to control your energy and.
You're going to say bladder, sorry.
That's just a general life rule, I think, for other people. And you do things like, you, in between the matches, you can go play bowls with your mates, or you can go and sign autographs for the fans, and all of, depending on what you choose, it depends your rate. You have like three ratings throughout the game with your manager, your fans, or the team. And obviously, the higher your rate with the team, the more passes you get in the match, and the more chances you got to score. Blah blah blah. So it's kind of slightly, and as that builds, actually, that's one of the nicer sides of the game, in that there's just little kind of things as to signing contracts for sport for different boots and so forth. And that's all quite nice. It's presented quite horribly, actually. It looks really, really amateur. And it doesn't even, I'm playing it on an iPad, and I think it's a universal app, but it doesn't fill the screen. So you've got these kind of bars down each side, which is a bit weird. So the match itself, I suppose, which is the main bit, you basically, all you do is, for any move you do, you basically have a commentary of the match, and every time you get the ball, it cuts to the actual match. And then you either choose to pass it to someone, depending where you are on the pitch, or you have a shot. And basically all you do is you pull your finger back, and then that determines the power. And then it cuts to this kind of moving ball around the screen, and you have to try and tap the ball where you want to hit it. So if you want to kind of lob it over them, you've got to kind of tap it on the bottom, and if you want to blah, 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 the angle of it and all that. And, it, and then it rates you. So if you misplace your pass, or you have a go on goal and you miss, then obviously your kind of rating through the match goes down, and you might get substituted. So it's kind of like it just cuts you every few moments, and basically all you have to do is try and make sure that you hit the ball right, because if you pass to a mate, then quite often they'll score and you'll get points for an assist. Or if you're kind of close on goal and you have a shot, as long as it's kind of in the right angle, it'll probably go in and you get a goal, which then ups your ratings. And then it gives you more star points, which you can then use to buy better boots. Or you have to buy energy drinks all the time to keep yourself going. And then those energy drinks, you can up your skill just by drinking an energy drink and up how popular you are with fans and stuff, which doesn't really make any sense. But
sounds realistic, to be fair.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is free, but after eight games, you then have to pay 69p to play on. And then it kind of starts getting a bit annoying in that the boots you buy to kind of up your performance, they seem to come with like a time limit. They'll like last for 9 matches, and then you'll go back to your default boots, which aren't as good, or you have to buy some more. And to do that, you have to use the stars that you accumulate either through playing, which depending on the club you're playing for, is when you start out. I mean, I'm in the Conference North at the moment, and I'm kind of earning 1 star per match. If you get offers for other clubs, it's essentially your wage. You get offered more stars per match. But at the moment, it would be quite a long time before I could afford to buy boots without actually paying for in-app purchases. So it kind of is a little
bit... But you are in the Conference, though. You're not even in the Conference. You're in the Conference North. So I imagine they don't pay. They don't have boots in the Conference North, do they?
No, but I think
they're playing socks.
I mean, in terms of the structure of this game, like, you know, if you wanted to move up, you want to actually have a good game, then you need to kind of buy the better boots that make your shots more powerful and give you more pace and so forth. And that, because they have this time limit on them, you then have to keep buying them, which I think is a bit cheeky. Once you bought them, you should own them, essentially. But yeah, it's kind of like, it's incredibly simple, and like little clips that when you actually play, no one actually moves. You kind of play this ball and everyone just stands statically, and you only lose out if you kind of don't play it to him properly. And there's a nice little bit where you have to try and intercept the ball, and you're kind of stood in the middle and the two players are either side of you, and you kind of have to move your finger to where you think the ball's going to go to stand in the way. That's quite good. But it's a kind of nice idea that hasn't really been fully realised, and it does feel very different to other football games. And I'm still playing it, but I'm kind of playing it and thinking... I mean, half the time you can lose loads of matches and have nothing to do with you. You could score a hat trick in a game, or, you know, make a load of goals, and your team might still lose 4-3. So you kind of don't really have complete control over what happens. And
that's football, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
I mean, Lionel Messi could score 6, but if the other team consists of gods, then they could score 20.
Well, I don't know. I'm playing like Grimsby Town, and not, you know.
It's a beautiful game.
It's a beautiful game.
I think, like, you know, simulation's fine, but in terms of an actual game you want to play, you need to give the player a bit more bearing over what happens. Otherwise, you just kind of feel like you're actually not achieving anything. You can have a really rubbish match and you win, or you can have a really good match and you lose. But so I don't know. It's nice.
It's all about mind games, though, isn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about now. It's a nice idea, but I don't think it's quite realized correctly. I think someone else, or maybe even this developer, if they give them more time, could take it and you could really build it into something quite good. But as things stand, it kind of is a bit disjointed, doesn't really work. I'd say it's like a 6, I'd say 6, maybe a high 6.
Got a 9.
We gave it a gold.
Everyone else, to be fair, a lot of people do like it a lot.
Well, it's refreshing. It certainly feels different. But I would be interested to see if in a week's time they still like it a lot. Because I think it also the fact that apart from the fact that you can choose how much energy you expend in each match, which then determines how often you get the ball and whatever, there is each match is pretty much the same as the last. It just cuts to a situation and you just pull the ball back.
I think there is a certain progression, though, that people, because people tweeting stuff like, oh, my man in, like, you know, Shrewsbury and stuff like this, or I've just got a promotion way to Division 1.
So I guess
there's
that.
A sort of, and there's like the all these tabloid scandals and stuff as you build up the ranks.
There is. And you can have a girlfriend. You can't have a boyfriend, apparently. You can just have a girlfriend, which is amusing because I've called my player Susan. But, it all depends on the actual variation of the little in match situations. All the other stuff is kind of dressing. And to actually continue to want to play the matches, I think the best part of a season now, most of the matches are pretty much identical. You just kind of get one chance that's near the box and you get one that's in the middle, and it's kind of the same each time at the moment. So I don't know. I don't think it's got legs, and I would be very surprised if in like a week or 2 weeks' time a lot of those people are still singing its praises quite so much. It's a nice idea, but I don't think it's quite been realised properly yet.
James.
Hello.
Right. I've been playing Mega Run, which is yet another endless runner slash platformer, I suppose. I mean, last week I was playing Zombie Ace and commenting on the fact that endless runners are getting a bit more complex. It's gone beyond just the kind of surfing up a hill and tiny wings, and that's kind of it. And now there are loads more elements being thrown on top, so platforming bits and loads of enemies and collectibles and all that stuff, which obviously Jetpack Joyride has as well. This is a very well presented cutesy monster version of the Endless Runner, which has a slightly more of a platform focus. Rather than it just being one, you know, one plane that you kind of jog across, it turns into, you know, several tiers on the level, different platforms. You're endlessly running still, but obviously you're jumping, you're having to choose the correct route to go down. Your little main star is a little red monster thing. Everyone in it's got huge bulging eyes. They all look a bit plasticine. Do you remember, what was it, Trapdoor? Remember Trapdoor?
Yeah.
Kind of. They all look a bit like that, with slightly bigger, more scary, bulging eyes. It's one of those things where it's slightly creepy cute, you know, like clowns with scary eyes. But it's all drawn very, very well. It's quite, I suppose, busy would be the word for it. You've got to collect loads of coins, and that obviously gives you, you know, counts towards stars and points and whatnot. You've got gems that you can also collect. I've been playing it for about half an hour, still haven't quite sussed out what the gems do, but I've been collecting them anyway, diligently. There are a whole bunch of power-ups you can get, which will range from, you know, the magnet that you get in quite a lot of games. You can transform yourself into a little fireball and tear through the enemies and collect coins. You can make yourself massive, like munching a mushroom style, like in Mario, only it's a power-up, and it's called Imbiganate, which I think is a Simpsons-based lawsuit waiting to happen. It's clearly fun. It is good. Because it's entertaining to play. The levels seem quite well designed. You have to choose your routes. I have gone back and reattempted a couple of them as I've been working my way through. And it's one of those games where you would want to learn the routes, because the stars that you have to collect, and as well as the coins and everything else, you know, you have to work out and remember where they are so you can jump up to the correct level. And obviously it's an endless runner, so you can't go back. So there's an element of kind of memorizing the course, and that's quite cool. If you get thrown off the edge, if you mistime your jump and you fall down, because you can fall off the platforms, he lets out a quite good blood-curdling scream, and you can resurrect him with stars that you have collected if you have done so. So all of that's good, and it's got a good smooth flow to it, which is always really important with these endless runners. If it's kind of stop start, or if the movement isn't fun, then it's nothing. I've played somewhere, it's just the physical act of running forward, of advancing across the level, is either feels too slow and sluggish and it's just dull, or it's presented in a way that's ugly and you don't want to come back to it. And these things sort of rise and fall on replayability, because obviously you're just charging forward all the time, so it's got to feel good, and it does feel good. It's clearly been done with a great deal of polish and it looks nice. Unfortunately, it's got the in-app purchase problem. We're going to go back to that again. Because any game, any mobile game that you buy, or, you know, I mean, it's currently free at the moment. I think it goes back up to 69p or something, but at the moment, because it's recently released, it's free. But it's obviously the moment, like the first loading screen, the very first loading screen for me started flashing up stuff about buying the in-app purchases and buying more money to buy upgrades. And obviously you can, you know, go and purchase upgrades and jetpacks and all this sort of things to make your character better. But as soon as I, you know, I always go to the list and see what they cost and everything. And there's the option for, you know, a $34.99 wad of virtual cash, which apparently has a massive reduction on it. So $34.99 is a bargain. I always just feel any mobile game that has the option to spend 35 quid in it, in a lump sum on it, for this, it just seems a bit ridiculous. Like, we said before, and Keith mentioned just now about having something where you pay money for it, but then it wears off, and so you, if you want to have it back, you have to pay for it again, which is a bit cheeky. It's just this idea of it being just an endless procession of payments, I find really annoying. I want to be able to. I don't mind if you have to pay several installments and then it adds up and then you have the game at the end, or something like that. But this idea where you can just end up spending money endlessly, seems just, it really puts me off. It really makes you want to go nowhere near the App Store just in case you accidentally touch something or someone accidentally touched something and you blow 35 quid on pointless virtual money. That aside, that's just a gripe I have with the whole system. The game itself is actually very pretty. There seems to be a lot more to it than some of the other ones. The platform elements are really strong. Having to choose which way you go is great. It's kind of fun. And it flows well. And when he gets his little flame on and starts charging through everybody, it's cute and it's endearing. Again, it's another case of turning the music on or off after the first 5 minutes because it's incredibly annoying and repetitive. And they've done a slightly weird thing with the characters where I can't work, like, some of them are monsters, just kind of non-specific shaped monster things. And then, like, one of them is clearly a fox, the other one's clearly a dragon, and the other one's clearly a turtle. Like,
I think you're just going to stop there. One of them is clearly a fox. That's not a monster. Oh, yeah. Monster run, not fox run.
No, that's true. No, but your little bunch of beasties, like nondescript round circular beasties, no, with, you know, they're not anything. And then you've got, and we'll throw a squirrel in, and we'll throw a dragon, which seems out of place to me. One of these things is not like the other.
Dramatically inconsistent.
Exactly, one of those. But standard freemium gripes aside, it plays well. It's fun. And if you're a fan of this kind of thing, then I imagine you'll enjoy this one. So it's from Get Set Games. It's currently free at the moment. So currently free at the moment. That's pretty redundant. So yeah, grab it if you're interested.
Thank you very much, James. Well, thanks very much to the rest of my guests that joined me here today. That would be Peter Willington.
That's all right, mate. Don't worry about it.
And Keith Andrew. Say goodbye, Keith.
Bye-bye.
And thank you again to James Gilmore.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
And thanks to Will Wilson. No problem, Will. Don't worry about it. And thanks to you for listening. Next week we're at E3. We haven't quite worked out what we're going to do. So if there's no podcast, that means that something happened on the way over to America.
That's ominous.
So yes, so hopefully we'll talk to you all again, or at you, next week. I hope you all have great weeks, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.